Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hate to be political in a sermon, but this needs to be said, and it needs to be said in a timely manner. Thomas Jefferson is a liar. The principal author of the Declaration of Independence asserted that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's a lie. The Creator has not given you an inalienable right to life. Instead, the Creator tells you whoever loses his life, whoever loves his life, loses it. The Creator has not given you the inalienable right to liberty. Instead, the Creator has placed you under the headship and authority of your parents, under the authority of a government, and invoking His name cannot excuse you if you dishonor your father by rebelling against him and declaring your independence from him. And the Creator has not given you the right to pursue happiness. Instead, Jesus said, "You will weep and lament. The world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful." The Creator has not endowed you with any rights. Whatever you have received and continue to receive as a gift from your Heavenly Father. Gifts and rights are of an entirely different sort. And you do not have inalienable rights. You have responsibilities to love and serve your neighbor. You have holy callings, vocations to carry out, your life and rights to lay aside for the good of others. Jefferson might promise you happiness, but Jesus promised his disciples weeping, lamenting, sorrow. "In a little while," Jesus told his disciples, "you will not see me." Mere hours later, he would be seized by a band of armed guards, taken away as a prisoner to the Jewish chief priests and then to the Roman authorities. In a little while, they would see him no more. But then in a little while, they would see him, nailed to a cross. For a little while, he would hang on the cross, but in a little while, he would be dead. For a little while, his body would be in the grave. For a little while, the disciples would not see him. For a little while, theirs would be weeping and lamenting while the world rejoiced at the death of this rabble-rouser. For a little while, they would be sorrowful until on the third day, their sorrow would be turned to joy. But even after Jesus' resurrection, in a little while, namely precisely 40 days, he would ascend and they would see him no longer because he would go to the Father. And again, for a little while, the way of the disciples would be weeping, lamenting, sorrowing, while the world had its rejoicing. The world would put the apostles to death and persecute the Lord's church, but only for a little while. Because in just a little while, Jesus promises, you will see him again. So for just a little while, yours is a life of weeping, lamenting, being sorrowful. St. Peter calls you sojourners and exiles, against whose souls the passions of your own flesh are waging war. You may, probably will, suffer for doing good. You may be like the author of Lamentations, saying, "My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But these things I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." For a little while. Happiness is a fleeting emotion. And never have you been guaranteed the right to pursue happiness. Pursuing happiness will guaranteed lead you to greater despair. If you suppose that God has created you to be happy, you'll be sorely disappointed to hear the words of Jesus in today's gospel lesson. But if you suppose instead that the Creator has endowed you with this inalienable opportunity to receive His gift of joy, the words of Jesus in today's gospel reading will bring you comfort. So also you have sorrow for now. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. So give up equating joy and happiness. They're not the same thing. Joy endures when happiness flees. Joy lasts through sorrow. Joy even allows room for weeping and lamenting. Repent of despair at your lack of happiness. Repent of daring to think that God wants you to be happy more than He wants you to be joyful. Jesus describes the life of the Christian like the time of a woman's labor. For 9 long months, she's wrestled with the pains of pregnancy. She's battled morning sickness and fatigue. She's endured sore muscles and an aching back. And now, as the hour of her labor has come, she's in more pain than ever before. It's at its most intense, more than she can put into words, more than she can explain to her husband, because the time for explaining and words has long passed. And don't you dare ask her if she's happy. She's not. But even during her pregnancy, and especially after, once the child is born, she's joyful. This is the picture Jesus gives you of the Christian life. Ever increasing sorrow and suffering, but guarantee of joy, eternal joy at the end. The promise of new life is what enables the woman to endure the pain. The life inside of her gives her joy even in the midst of her suffering. When the Israelites complained against God and against Moses, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the Israelites. When they cried out for deliverance, the Lord had Moses make a serpent out of bronze and put it on a pole in the middle of the camp. When anyone was bitten by a snake, he could look to the serpent on the pole and be saved. So may you. Suffering entered the world by the rebellion of Adam and Eve. But into the midst of suffering, God took on human flesh and entered His creation in the person of Jesus. His substitutionary death on the cross is what saved you from your sins. So may you look to the cross in the midst of affliction, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of weeping and lamenting, and find comfort. There on the cross, in the death of Jesus, is your source of joy. That's why today is Jubilate Sunday. Shout for joy Sunday. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. The awesome work of God is to take away your guilt and your sin, to take these onto Himself on the cross. This is the blessed exchange. You receive grace and mercy because Jesus received condemnation and punishment. And so will He exchange your sorrow for joy on the day when Jesus returns. Though for a little while you have sorrow, no one will take away your joy. Those who now rejoice at your sorrow will exchange their rejoicing for an eternal lamenting. And your sorrow will be short. It will not last longer than this brief little lifetime. The Lord who died is He who has been born from the womb of the grave just 3 days later. The labor lasted only a little while. And so will you be born again from the grave just as He is. And for the little while between now and then, you are not left joyless. Jesus says that in this little while, though you do not see Him, He will not be absent. Here at His altar, the Lord gives you a foretaste of this celestial joy that will be yours. Though you do not see Him, His real flesh and blood will be here for you, as He is both host and entree. The Israelites ate the Passover meal in haste. with their shoes on, their robes tucked in their belts, their walking sticks in hand, always ready to depart. So this meal is one that quickens you for the journey, prepares you to depart, as you feast on the very body and blood of Jesus, who gave His life for yours, as you feed on forgiveness. You get a taste of the eternal joy that will be yours then and even begins to be yours now. And no one will take your joy from you. So the Lord Jesus gives to you the gifts of life, liberty from sin and its oppression, and the pursuit not of happiness but of eternal joy by means of His instruments of grace, His real body and blood in the Holy Communion, where, though you may have sorrow now, no one can take your joy from you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.